Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the ICON Research Center at the University of Warwick. This is part 2 of episode 31, which we recorded with Ella from the beautiful island of Kos, which we traveled to for the International Process Symposium in June 2017. In part 1 of the episode released last week, we talked about institutional theory with Trish Ray and Tamar Zilber. In this second part, we're going to be joined by Professors Harry Tsoukas and Anne Langley for the core conveners of PROS, which is the Process Symposium, to talk about process view, how it fits with organization studies and management research, and also about the conference in particular. At the end of the episode, we also cover briefly the next year's conference, the theme of which is time and temporality. So if you're curious about the inside view about that, then that might be particularly interesting. A few words about our guests. Harry Tsoukas is a professor at the University of Cyprus and University of Warwick. He's best known for his contributions to understanding organizations as knowledge and learning systems, for reviewing organizational phenomena through the lens of process philosophy, for exploring practical reason in organizational context, as well as the epistemology of reflective practice in management, as well as for bringing insights from Aristotle, Wittgenstein, and Heidegger to organization and management studies. Anne Langley is a professor of management at HEC Montreal and candidate research chair in strategic management in pluralistic settings. Her research focuses on strategic change, leadership, identity, and the use of management tools in complex organizations with an emphasis on process and qualitative research methods. Both of these scholars are highly regarded, and we are just so pleased and grateful to them for sitting down with us to talk about this wonderful conference, the process view, and organization studies in general. This episode is not, uncommonly, a continuation of part one, so you don't have to necessarily listen to that first. But if you haven't listened to our discussion on institutional theory, I would highly recommend you do that, as that was a very interesting episode as well. Alright, so please join Harry, Anne, myself and Ella on the beautiful island of Kos during the Process Symposium 2017. All right, welcome to part two of our special from the International Process Symposium on the lovely island of Kos. And so last week we released an episode with emphasis on institutional theory, which is a wonderful introduction for those of you who have listened and are interested in this. This week we want to talk about the place where these conversations occur, which is the International Symposium on Process Studies, which is an absolutely wonderful event. And not just that, it's also fairly unique in many of its features that I think we'll get to at some point. So I guess a good place to start would be thinking about why is this different, what are the philosophies behind Process Symposium, and maybe to explain briefly how it works in general.
I think we can probably go back to the beginning of the symposium. To be precise, to the prehistory of the symposium, it started in 2005 when Anne Langley and Robert Chia convened the Organization Studies conference on process thinking in organizational studies. If I remember correctly, it was the very first Organization Studies conference organized in the Greek island of Santorini. It was a nice conference, much smaller than what PROS is today, but big enough to enable people to join and have good conversations. And it was the first step towards sort of making process thinking, putting it more strongly on the agenda. Then in 2009, we, Anne and I, took the initiative to establish PROS, that is, the International Symposium on Process Organization Studies, as a separate conference, which will occur annually in a Greek island or Mediterranean island or coastal location, with the aim to advance process thinking. Now, why process thinking, you might might ask. Why, you know, of all the possible topics, why did we settle on this one? Well, obviously, because Anne and I care for this, and I think this is important for us, But importantly, not just for us, I think it's for the field. And we were not the first ones, we were not the first scholars to talk about process, of course. And I think ever since at least Carl Weick in 1969, process has been on the agenda, although not always called process. More dynamic ways of understanding organizations as evolving creatures, a shift away from structure. As you know, in our field, if you look at any sort of traditional organization theory handbook or textbook, you will see that the emphasis is on structure, how to design organizations, how they are structured, how they are coordinated. All this is this entitative perspective has been the mainstream of the field for a long time. But on the side of this, at the same time, there has always been, I think, a lively process-oriented community aiming to better understand change, innovation, dynamics, processes in organizations. So we wanted to, if you like, retrieve that process stream and put it more firmly on the agenda of our field. And this is what PROS was set out to do. And I think to a large extent, this particularly coupled with the publication of the series of process perspectives on organization studies published by Oxford University Press, I think it has given a push to process thinking in the field.
Yes, and I think that the fact that we had the PROS symposium also led to other kind of spin-off activities, which are sometimes related and sometimes not related to PROS. So you're seeing at the Academy of Management every year, and this was initiated by Andy van der Ven. They started having process organization studies or process research methods workshops every year. And in 2010, Harry, Andy van der Ven, and Clive Smallman and I launched a special issue of Academy of Management Journal, which specifically aimed to publish process research in the mainstream journal of the field. So I think that that's another sign that this has kind of taken off a little bit. And finally, we this year at the PROS conference, we were able to display the SAGE Handbook of Process Research, which is, I think it has 40 chapters, which takes various topics that organization theorists are interested in and puts a process spin on them. And so it's bringing this processual perspective.
Yeah. And also, I think at EGOS there has been,
As well.
Since 3 years ago, if I remember correctly, there has been a separate stream or group on process. So I think a future historian of ideas will be interesting to trace back all these things. And I'm sure one of the things that he or she will do is to trace the connections and the spin-offs. And I think this is part of the beauty of all this. It's setting up something which obtains its own momentum. Then it gives rise to spin-offs, other activities. And that helps crystallize the line of thinking Anne and I wanted to see in the field more centrally, which is process thinking.
What do you think has galvanized so many people around this perspective? What attracts people, and why has it taken off in this way?
Wow, maybe it's the Greek island.
Yeah. Look, that helps.
The sun helps, and the wine probably. But and actually, there's a serious point about this. I will come back to this. I think it resonates with the spirit of our times, with the zeitgeist. We live at a time of acceleration. Change is in everybody's lips. We want to understand better a world which moves fast. So inevitably, there are changes out there in the economy and society which force us to ask questions about how are we to make sense of these fast evolving changes. So therefore, our thinking, as if you like, whether we like it or not, is already oriented towards becoming more dynamic thinking. And this may help explain to some extent why it resonates. And also, secondly, I think it's possibly in the logic of the development of any scientific field that people feel sort of dissatisfied with the status quo. They look alternatives, and a healthy field actually is a field which precisely enables that fermentation to carry on.
I'm actually curious because you mentioned that even though you weren't the first ones to do something process focused, there wasn't still much around at the time, and this is cataclysmic in many ways. And we were talking about this a lot today and before. When you picked this idea up and you decided to make a thing out of it, how was it in terms of resistance to doing something so different to having a conference, you know, that is a symposium, at least nominally, and on a Greek island, and only a process sort of focus? Did you get a lot of
I don't think so.
Pushback?
No, I think, I mean, there are communities which have not been calling themselves necessarily process, but have been working on topics and looking at change. And so in a certain sense, the process symposium provided a place where they could meet and talk about the things they were interested in already. And so I think the first process symposium was on sense-making and organizing. And there was a community interested in sense-making and organizing. There was a community that was interested in philosophy of process, which was perhaps smaller, but I think that that's growing. And there was a community which I would say, you know, Harry was very central in the thinking process for philosophical thinking. And there were a few people who had been talking about process in terms of methodology, and I was one of them. And Andy van der Ven had written a few things, and Andrew Pettigrew had written a few things. People were trying to study phenomena processually. We're very interested in that. So there was a community that was interested in that, and we didn't need a huge community to run a conference. This is still a small community relatively, but I think it's you know, increasingly you meet people and they say, I really need to go to process. I hear it's really interesting, I'm doing stuff which might be relevant and so on. So you do, I think the community is expanding and the interest is expanding, but I don't think it was totally foreign to many scholars.
As Sam suggested, I think it's bringing together already existing communities. And that's, I think, so it was, if you like, quite ripe at its time, this kind of event, to bring together people who were already oriented towards thinking about process. And PROS was the event which catalyzed all these sub-communities. So resistance, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, and it's been refreshed, I think, each year because we have a different theme.
Yeah.
So, and the themes are always chosen with a view to thinking about themes that where process is, it kind of resonates and where there is something that is worth doing with process. And so we had sense making and organizing, then we had identity and thinking about identity from a processual viewpoint,
materiality,
language and discourse, can't remember all of them, routines. So PROS has managed to bring together those communities and I think build on them and at the same time accumulate the faithful.
And again, from a sociology of knowledge point of view, I think this is how innovation tends to happen. So you wouldn't expect, for example, a leading journal or the leading journals in the field to be necessarily so open and all embracing to these new, not so new, but nonetheless a bit radical by mainstream standards, ideas of process thinking. So you set up events, if you like, in the periphery, as it were, and when there is growing interest, then it all percolates into the mainstream and then leads to the leading journals, which feeds back to the periphery. And I think this is what I have seen growing, that interest in process thinking, which institutionally happened. I think PROS was an important event in helping to happen.
Maybe that's a good time to talk about this year's theme, which was institutions, a process view. Can you tell us a bit about how that came about, why that theme now?
Well, for me, I mean, you know, when I started learning about organization theory, institutions was, you know, the least processual thing that you could think about. So it was really the essence of structure, and people were talking about how institutions affected people's action, but they were not, even though in the origins institutional theory was more processual, that had kind of been lost, and we were talking about institutions as things out there which affected people's behavior. But in recent years, there had been increasing interest, so that the interest started, I would say, with people starting to talk about changing institutions. Mm. And so already you've got some kind of process interest. As soon as you start talking about change, even though the thing you change is still a thing, you're moving towards process thinking. And then we started to see other scholars talking about agency and the way agency could help transform institutions. And so the movements that we saw in Steve Barley's talk today, so Steve essentially gave us a really interesting framework for thinking of different ways of making institutions processual, and I hope I can remember them all. So he talked about institutional entrepreneurship, so that it really in the early 2000s, this was the first way of making institutions more dynamic, more agential. Then we started talking about institutional work as a second way, and inhabited institutions as a third wave of scholarship. So we could see that these movements were there, and therefore we felt that this was a really good timing to at the same time build on what was already there and to make the point that making institutions processual was a really interesting thing to do. And I mean, there's an infinity of things that we could make more processual. You know, you just take anything we think of as a thing and add work to the end of it, make it into a gerund, talk about how it's constituted, you end up making it processual. And so there is an endless scope of topics that you could do this to.
It seems like this was, institutions were kind of ripe for that conversation.
They were, yes.
And possibly the least process-oriented topic we had so far, in the sense that, historically speaking, I think, I'm not an expert on institutions, but from my reading, I think it tended to be a bit like traditional organization theory. It's more static. All these institutional work, entrepreneurship, and inhabit institutions, they help push it towards more dynamic ways. But still, it was less processual than routines, for example, which has been around for some time, but in the last 20 years, it has been problematized more in process terms. So institutions has been undergoing such a problematization as well, and I think this was a good moment to make it to intensify this.
It was fun because institutions, you don't think of institution as something that is explicitly non-static, and I kept coming back to this last time. I think we have a better understanding now of what they are, so that was certainly beneficial. But why? Okay, so we get the process part, and it's exciting and interesting. Why the symposium? Where are the flute girls and where is all the drinking?
The flute girls are not... We have to be careful with gender here. well, the symposium is important, I think. I take the view, and presumably Anna agrees with this, that intellectual life, it's not a disembodied life. I think it does require a certain environment where people can engage creatively in conversations. And I think facing the Aegean or the sea, more generally, and just being in a pleasant environment with good food and drinks, I think that in itself helps the creative juices flow. So remember, in Plato's Symposia, it was not the flute girls; it was more eating and drinking, and of course conversing, which was the most important. So sometimes when I sort of I'm a bit. Skeptical when I, the word symposium has been taken almost in all languages. It is used rather loosely for some kind of gathering together. But we wanted to somehow to get back to the origins of the term in the symposium. So when we have symposia in the academy, by the symposia, you could have substituted the term workshops or conference for that. A symposium for me, it involves, it's a kind of immersive environment. You immerse yourself in it. You enjoy yourself. You have a good time, and mind and body somehow are entangled, and hopefully something creative comes.
Yeah, well, in Plato's Symposium, of course, they were drinking and then giving eulogies to the god of love.
The god
of,
yes, yes, yes. We have edited out a few things. We have adapted it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this relates to the word symposium, but I think it relates to PROS and its distinctiveness as an event. One of the things I love the most about PROS is the speakers that we get to come. And I mean, this was Harry's idea from the beginning, to bring in people from outside the field of organization studies who could really challenge us to think differently. And these are the most memorable moments that that we have when, when we come to PROS, to go to a talk and you know, thinking about it afterwards, thinking, well, what was all that about? How can I relate to that? And really, that's it. That is so fantastic to have that possibility. And
I particularly like the comment Francesca Poleda, one of our keynote speakers this year, made, which is, to my satisfaction, I think she noticed the intellectual breadth of the symposium. Although it's a relatively narrow theme, nonetheless, a well-focused theme does not necessarily mean some kind of intellectual introversion. On the contrary, it's intellectual extroversion. It's reaching out to other disciplines, other traditions, to be able to elaborate, ultimately, a better, more sophisticated process vocabulary. So that's, for me, it's again the way I see intellectual development. It's by branching out rather than just digging in into the field. Although this is important as well. It needs to be done. But also, we must not forget that kind of reaching out.
That's what I like so much about PROS. It really is at the intersection of so many different communities, broadly within organizational studies. We've got information systems as well, and people studying work from all different perspectives. Yeah. And I think it's sort of a home for people who live on the margins of their own disciplinary area. So it's nice to sort of meet with people who have a similar perspective, but are studying such diverse phenomena and so many different empirical contexts. So there's always something to
another thing, I think it was Francesca, another point she made today was the richness of the empirical materials that we see. I mean, this year struck me particularly.
Particularly so,
The rich ethnographies that were being presented, really, really fantastic work, you know, in terms of scholarship. This is grounded process thinking.
Yes, I think this is very important, Dan. And it's perhaps we should have emphasized in the closing section that it is, if you look at the back, you know, at the past 9 years, I think in the beginning we're a bit more philosophical, trying to grope our way around.
I know, I missed the beginning.
You missed the beginning. You're too young. I can see a great, in the last couple of years, but particularly this year, I saw greater emphasis on empirical work, which ultimately, this is what it is. Some people think process is about process philosophy. No, it isn't. Process philosophy is a tool for us to do a better job as social scientists. We're not making contributions to process philosophy. But we need a sophisticated vocabulary, which process philosophy can give us, to be able to do better organizational theory, better or social science. And we see more and more that kind of empirical work being done.
Of course, that's a good point, especially given that if we think of philosophy as this emergent property of the discussion, then there needs to be something to discuss in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
The challenge is, and perhaps this is where scholars are finding more confidence, is how do you actually study process? What kind of methods are appropriate? Mm-hmm. And when I initially came into these conversations, I was hearing very much almost a rule that it had to be longitudinal ethnography if it was going to be a process study. Mm-hmm. There are longitudinal ethnographies, but there seems to be a diversity of approaches that have been presented here. And this is your area. Do you have some advice or views on?
Well, I started off, we had a methodological workshop this year at PROS. And so I started off by giving a typology, which is not a very professional thing to do, but it can evolve. Looking at different kinds of ways of conceptualizing what process is and what are their methodological implications. So I suggested four ways of thinking about what process is, and each of them has different consequences. So, for example, the way that process thinking really came into organization studies in the origins is really about studying change, and I call this one process as evolution. So we still have some kind of substantive ontology. We're talking about how things evolve over time. And so that is the traditional longitudinal case study where you're trying to make sense of long-term processes. So that would be processes evolution would be one perspective on process. A second one, which I suggested was interesting, is processes narrative. And so there you're talking about temporality and flow, but more in the constructions of individuals or of texts. So you're studying the process within the production of narrative. So that's a narrative approach is another way of looking at it. And we saw some of that with Francesca Poletto, although it was quite interesting to say that she thought that process and narrative were not compatible. Maybe there's some discussion around that we can have. And then the third kind of way of looking at process that I suggest exists is process as activity. So process in the moment. And the kind of methodologies you look at there is observing fine-grained interaction where you can actually see the becoming happening in the moment as one person talks to another and gets a certain reply. The becoming is there in that particular moment. And so those kinds of approaches demand studying interactions, ethnography, but very fine-grained ethnography.
Ethnomethodological
or conversation analysis, those kinds of things. I mean, I think that has a certain, for me, it has a certain limitation because you can lose the context. So then you need to go back to the processes evolution perspective. And then finally, and this one is a little bit more challenging to get your mind around, the fourth orientation, we called it following John Schotter, process as witness. And this idea is very much about not just the people you're studying, but yourself as a researcher, you are in the flow. As you are studying, and you're studying with those that you're studying. So here we're looking very much at sort of, and this is an expression that John Schotter used, dialogic action research, where your focus is not on the dead past, but thinking forward into the future. So that's a very sort of radical, strong process view. That is quite different, and there are a few people here at PROS who are taking that perspective and looking at it in terms of thinking forward and thinking with people. So that would be a different methodological approach. So there's this whole range.
Yes, I think the last one merges, if I understand it correctly, some kind of action research.
Yeah.
Of the kind Philippe...
Philippe Larino is involved.
That's right. How can we call it? It's a form of action research when you intervene. The researcher, like a therapist, tries to change the phenomenon he or she is interested in.
But not from the outside.
Not from the inside, exactly.
The people who are involved in the situation.
And John Schotter, being a psychologist and was very sensitive to therapy and so on, I think I can see why he wanted to redirect conversations people have so that they can see new things, they can act differently in their lives. And for him, theory wasn't something about the past. Well, actually, theory for him was, that's why he got dismissive sometimes of theory, because it refers to the dead past and not the lively present and the anticipations of the future.
And I think we should say also that, I mean, one of the events at PROS this year was to remember John Sheldon, who died last year. And so this was a kind of poignant moment for PROS attendees, because he had been one of the distinguished speakers at the very first PROSAS conference in 2005. And he had come back frequently and been involved in the discussions. So that was...
This is a very interesting point as well, because you're talking about intervening, intervention, trying to change, trying to influence. Yeah. And that sometimes, I think, has an uneasy tension with the idea of emergent process, that it's becoming the flow, the flux, these sort of vocabularies that we have to discuss. Strong process often don't leave a lot of space for a sense of intervention or direction, or at least I find it hard to think through what it means to intervene from that perspective.
I mean, I think that if you would read John Schotter, you would see it differently. If you read some of the process philosophers, you would see it differently. That actually, it's highly compatible. I'd hand over to Harry on that one.
Absolutely. But, it's, in fact, it does make a difference the way you do things differently. So if something is missing, I think, from our conference, from PROS, is we don't have enough interest in how one practices process. Probably because we're scholars, we don't so much practice process, but study process. So something about the division of labor, maybe. And also something which I'm keen, and Anne is keen to see more work on, is how to teach process. So both teaching and practicing, I think, are in the domain of action, not just the study of process. So if we are to design a curriculum differently to make people more sensitive to process, how can we do that? And also, if policymakers and managers, if we want them to learn to be more process sensitive, what does it mean? And what would they do differently? These would be fascinating issues. And I don't think we have explored them deeply as we could.
I think it might also be not least down to process being a very taken for granted but not well theoretically understood or agreed upon aspect of this.
True.
If we're going to teach it, we should, you know, designing a curriculum around something such as, for example, knowledge can be intrinsically tricky because there isn't a good understanding of what it is that we're designing the curriculum around, and process is similarly, if not more, ambiguous than the knowledge in that sense. It's very internally obvious thing to do at the same time as it is almost utterly undefinable, and maybe it's a good thing, basically.
Yeah. I mean, the solution to that for me is, you know, there are X numbers of schools of thought, and you just
technology evolution activities and so on. You can design some. I know what you mean. I think it's when the object of knowledge is ambiguous itself, it does not lend itself to transmission, which is what the curricula are supposed to achieve. But nonetheless, you know, we wouldn't necessarily want to claim that we can change the entire business school curriculum. You know, this would be too grandiose a claim to make. But we would like to push, I would like to push the curriculum to become more process sensitive.
Definitely.
And we need to find ways.
And it's not just that if the object of knowledge is ambiguous, we can't necessarily transmit it traditionally. It's more that people coming into the space where we would be teaching process or something like that, they already have their pre-existing conceptions of what the process is. And then we have some collaborating to do, and that might not necessarily work as well.
One of the challenges comes back to what Francesca was saying in her keynote, I think, that narratives turn processes into events, into defined sequences, that's what a narrative requires in some senses, and a curriculum almost requires that sort of story. And so if we're teaching process, then we start to define it and put it in sequence and say these are the categories, and it can do violence to the very notion. But there may be a way around it. Francesca, again, at the end of the symposium said that there's a process sensibility that she's detected amongst this community. And that, to me, is palpable in presentations that we hear. Even though there's a huge diversity of thought, there's a certain sensibility that perhaps could be taught without having to close the conversation down too much.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe developed is a better word.
Developed.
Although teaching has been around for thousands of years, it's it changes its meaning. You know, it's not. I think you have in mind the traditional type, the ex cathedra teaching.
I have in mind what I have just experienced earlier this year.
Uh-huh. Really? What was it?
Oh, it's just my first season of teaching large classes.
Oh,
right.
You stand up and you feel like an actor, you know, performing in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I know. This is becoming so archaic, increasingly.
It is. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're doing this.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to necessarily talk about the teaching and progression and today, even though it's an interesting topic, of course, for us as practitioners of that.
So next year, 2018, can you tell
it's
us about
time.
The theme?
I mean, if you, as you may have noticed in this year's process, like in every year, actually, one of the things that come up time and again, is time. I mean, the moment you say process, you imply something occurring in time. So it is about time. We talk about time. And I think it happily coincides with the 10th anniversary. So there's a symbolic element there. We wanted to reserve the 10th anniversary for such an important phenomenon as time. There has been an increasing sensitivity in the field. We have seen papers on temporalities by, you know, Sarah Kaplan, Olikowski, several other colleagues, Paula Jarzakowski and others. So it's not an entirely new theme, but we want to give it momentum. And also, yeah. I've seen a couple of books on organizations in time.
Yeah, I think it's something we thought of doing earlier, but we were always a little bit concerned that there was not a broad enough
community
around it, but we think that there is now. And it's becoming more interesting for a number of people. And the two conveners we have, Julian Reinecke, has written some really interesting work on time. Roy Sutterby has been developing this notion of rhetorical history. He's very interested in history and so how people put time into their decisions and their discourse and so on. And so those two conveners are absolutely the perfect people to have to lead the discussion of time. And they have both been recently working on that topic and it's gaining momentum, I think.
And it's one of those topics where you wish you had more time to include as many outside the field keynote speakers as possible.
Yeah.
Historians, philosophers, psychologists, sociologists, I mean, you name it. Time defines human existence.
And we forget it so easily.
Yeah, we forget it. Yeah.
Well, what was it? St. Augustine said that time, if I know what it is.
Yes,
if you don't ask me, if you ask me, I don't know.
Yes.
I think that's
exactly.
Very spot on. I'm so excited for next year. Most of my interest is in memory and time.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
Just going to flood you with things. I have the time to.
And do you have any advice for people who perhaps haven't been at PROS before who are interested in submitting something to the symposium? Is there a particular way of getting into this literature, this community that you can offer?
Well, it's very important that your work reflects a flow process sensibility, but there are different ways of reflecting that. We have a theme next year, which is time, but also we're open to process papers on a variety of topics. It doesn't have to have time as central, although because it's process, it will have time in the background somewhere. But all kinds of topics that are talking about activity, that are talking about temporality, that are talking about process,
movement,
change.
Basically anything that doesn't see management as
static,
tailor and failed it, essentially.
I think there's generic advice that, you know, that you are entering a conversation and therefore make sure that you have something, just be clear what kind of conversation this is and what makes your piece of work process. Are you focusing on activity? Are you focusing on time? Are you focusing on doings and sayings people enact in organizations? Because this also we need to say that not everything that claims to be processful is processful enough. Understandably, even we are supposed to be processful thinkers, but nonetheless, we fall back often into more static ways of thinking and understanding the world. So it's true of all of us, and I think it's something to be alert. So make sure that something is processful in your study of the topic you have chosen.
Yeah, so if you're expressing your thing in terms of independent variables, yeah, exactly. You might want to have another look at it. Is this sufficiently processual?
All right, wonderful. Thank you. I think that's wonderful for now.
Thank you very much.
We would certainly encourage our listeners, to those who are within academia, to have a look at PROS. PROS is fantastic. We're all very happy and tanned here. It's the locations are fantastic. Even if you have to jerry-rig a paper to look at it as a process, it may be worth trying.
Just simply
for the experience.
I think you might.
I mean, you know, we have about, I think this year, what, 200?
A bit less, 170.
170, yeah.
You said 60%.
And so about 60% accepted. Yes.
Which is a good rate,
it is good to,
It's a wonderful community, and the conversations are just very memorable, and I think can really propel forward your work and encourage new directions and new thinking.
Yeah. So the intellectual concentration here is one of the highest.
And we do leave room for discussion, and I felt this year that it worked very well. There was nobody who was presenting a paper and then silence. It was very dynamic.
And it is about ideas. I think we are similar enough to take certain things for granted and to concentrate on important issues, but diverse at the same time, to have good conversations where we try to understand each other, where one is coming from. It is about ideas, and I think PROS is one of the most ideas-driven conferences.
And that's all for episode 31. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our two specials from the International Process Symposium 2017 and found these discussions as enjoyable and useful as we have. Next week, we are bringing yet another special that was recorded during the release of the Journal of Management Studies season, but because we wanted to keep those episodes together, we didn't interrupt them with any specials. So next, we are releasing the episode that Ralph recorded together with Professors Mats Alveson and Bjorn Erik Mork from the Organizational Learning, Knowledge and Capabilities Conference back in April. So if you want to know what happened there, join us next week, here on Talking About Organizations.